First scripture reading for this Easter Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. That is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. It's on page 696 of your Red Pew Bibles. In this scripture, the prophet Isaiah foretells of a new heaven and a new earth that will be marked by peace and prosperity. Let us read. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be an offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So happy Easter, and welcome to Easter Sunday. What a special day today is to be able to be gathered together. How special it is to see some new faces or some faces that we haven't seen in a while. You know, Easter Sunday is one of the three Sundays here at this church, at least, that we see a lot of newer faces, or faces we haven't seen in a little bit. One of them, of course, is Christmas Eve, but Christmas Eve doesn't always fall on a Sunday, right? The other one actually is Preschool Sunday. Preschool Sunday is one of our largest Sundays as far as getting people to come into the confines of this church that normally or traditionally wouldn't come into the church. So what brings you here today? What brings you here on this Easter Sunday? I'm hoping you are here to celebrate the resurrection, because that's what I'm going to be talking about, is that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's why we gather on Easter Sunday. And if this is your church family, then you've been with us throughout the Lenten journey, and we have looked at through Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, actually even starting back last Sunday. At Palm Sunday, we said that you can't really have the resurrection unless you have the suffering, unless you have the death of Jesus. And so we went on this journey together from Palms to Passion to Maundy Thursday, where we broke bread together, and then we left the church in silence and darkness on Good Friday. I said this past week as well that we can't understand the resurrection unless we have traveled together on the suffering. You can't have the resurrection without the death of our Savior. But we recognize that I'm not really comfortable talking about suffering. It was the first time in my 25 years of being a pastor that I've preached the sermon totally based upon the redemptive value of suffering, of how suffering can produce within us, as Paul says, a character that we would not have honed otherwise. We mentioned how I'm much more comfortable talking about resurrection. So hey, today I'm in my element. So today we're going to do just fine. And so today we are going to focus on resurrection. And so if the main point for Christmas Eve is that our God took on flesh and became one of us, then for Easter it's that same God was the victor over death. Jesus, in his resurrection, conquered death. And because of that, we can say, y'all ready? This is going to happen a couple times now. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
We can say that. So let's go ahead and let's read the resurrection story as Luke tells us in chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Chapter 24 of Luke, verses 1 through 12. And if you've been following along with us, we have been in Acts of the Apostles, and you will also know that Luke is the one who wrote Acts of the Apostles, so we're kind of keeping it in-house today. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. So on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. They were perplexed about this, and while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." I'll wait. It's okay. I'll wait. "But has risen." Thank you. "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." And then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. This was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and, Lord, the meditation of all of our hearts, that they would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you have been following us or going along with us on this journey, we have also lifted up the prophet Isaiah in a number of different Sundays and also on Monday, Thursday, and last Sunday, we looked at the suffering servant song, and we noticed that Isaiah, as a prophet, talks to us about our Messiah as the one who is going to suffer. And so we've been looking at Isaiah, and we've been understanding, hopefully, better what that means as our Savior went silently to the slaughter, and that has already happened. That has already taken place. Today we read about a promise of things that are new. Our scripture today is a promise to this community, this Hebrew community who has been taken captive into exile, and they needed to hear good news. They needed to hear something new, because what they were living was not good at all. What they were living was the Monday, Thursday, was the Good Friday experience. They need to hear that there was a promise of something new. They couldn't sing the Lord's songs where they currently were. You know, as the famous Baptist preacher says, if the servant songs that we saw over the last 2 weeks are Friday, so it's Friday, but the Baptist preacher says, but Sunday is a coming. So Isaiah 65, what we just read this morning for Easter Sunday, that's Sunday, right? Isaiah 65 is Sunday. All the other servant songs are Lent, are Good Friday, and are Monday, Thursday. And listen to what, and so let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah. Listen to what the prophet tells us those days are going to be like. Listen to the promises that we receive from the prophet Isaiah. We will have a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Our abuse of the earth will cease. None of that will happen any longer. Things will regenerate and become new. Children, we read, will not die in infancy. Something that I know within this community over the last month we have been praying about without ceasing. This is a promise of things being new. The elderly, it tells us, keep reading, will be respected and prioritized, and they will live long lives. Children will be a joy and not the subject of terror at the hands of twisted people, even their own classmates. Columbine, do you hear Isaiah 65? All things new, including creation, the wolf and the lamb, the lion and the ox, the eagle and the cowboy. Well, okay, some things you can't fix. Some things you just can't fix, right? 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right? But on that day, Isaiah tells us, on that day, no one will hurt each other in God's kingdom. Sri Lanka, do you hear me? We're given a promise, and then we wait for it to be fulfilled. And that's the way Scripture normally works. And how many times have I told you behind the pulpit, trust in the promises of the Lord. They are going to come true. Trust in them because God always, always follows through on His Word. And that's the way that we traditionally read Scripture, is we're given a promise and then we wait. We actively wait for it to be fulfilled. But what if things were turned around? What if the fulfillment has already happened? What if the promise has already taken place and just people aren't aware of it? People don't know about it, because that's exactly what we find happening in Luke. We don't hear a promise, rather we hear a fulfillment. We hear that this has already happened. It's already taken place. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke and let's remember the resurrection story. Luke does a great job of setting up the confusion and the grief and the disturbance and the doubt that's present in this post-resurrection early Christian community. And he continues with that, right, in Acts of the Apostles. But at the end of Luke, at least, he paints a picture of this community that is completely at wit's end. They're licking their wounds. They're wondering how in the world they could have all run away from the Savior. And they all did. There's also Peter there who can't believe that when Jesus told him he was going to deny him 3 times, that it actually happened. They were wondering where Judas was. They had heard a rumor that he had hung himself, but no one had really confirmed that yet. And so that's the context where we find ourselves when the women, and the Greek in Luke is at the crack of dawn, the women head out to go finish the job that they had started after the crucifixion, but they couldn't finish it because the Sabbath had come upon them. And every gospel is different. This morning at the sunrise service, we heard the gospel of John, and John highlights something different. Every gospel is different, and Luke highlights different things. We see the women heading their way toward the tomb, but they're not worried about the stone in Luke, and the other gospels they are. They get there. They show up, they see the stone is rolled away, they walk in and they see an empty tomb, and then all of a sudden, 2 guys from a Tide commercial come in sparkling white clothes, right? Every single gospel that we find the women when they get to the tomb and something happens, we find that they are terrified. In most of the gospels, you have someone telling them what? Once they're terrified, you have someone saying, do not be afraid, right? Luke's different. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have anyone comforting the women. He doesn't have anyone really give them directions, except he has these 2 men kind of chastising them. Don't you remember? Why are you looking for the dead among the living? He told you everything you needed to know. Why are you looking for something old when God has created something brand spanking new? Go to verse 5. Because verse 5 is really at the heart of this scripture. It's also at the heart of the entire gospel message. And what we find is And y'all got to be ready for this, that the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. He is risen indeed." And then verse 6, we read about this fulfillment, this promise that has already happened. Don't you remember? And the angels give the women not a message, not a promise, but a message and an announcement, a witness to the fulfillment of the promise which had already taken place. We told you this already. So now go back and tell people about what has already happened. And they go back and they tell people and look at verse 11. And we're going to look at it a little later on. And they do exactly that. It's a crucial verse. And then it ends with Peter. Y'all know I love Peter, right? It's almost as if he's lifted out of the story and focused upon, and you almost can hear him thinking introspectively. Now, no one else may understand, may believe these women, but something happened. I'm going to go check it out for myself. And so you have him in verse 12 running back to the tomb, and he sees the linen cloths, and look at the very last words. He went home amazed at what had happened. We don't know what he sees, except he sees for sure the linen cloths. We don't know if he saw something else, but something happened when he went back that left him amazed. If he had just gone back and seen an empty tomb, I'm not sure he would have left amazed. What did Peter see? Or what did Peter experience while he was there? I think we're given hints. Same chapter, 24 of Luke, if you go forward a little bit to verse 34, you have almost a public witness, a testimony. In verse 34 of Luke says the following, "The Lord," they were saying, "the Lord has risen indeed." You don't have to say it again. And he has appeared to Simon. Simon is Peter. So here at the end of Luke, you have an account that Jesus appeared to Peter as well. Also the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 5, you have that same witness, that same testimony that Peter was someone to whom Jesus appeared. Something happened at that tomb when Peter was there, and I'm thinking he left amazed because he actually had an experience with the risen Jesus Christ. You can't blame the other disciples for not believing. You can't talk down to them because they didn't have the same experience that the women had, where they actually were placed within the presence almost of Almighty God. Because think logically of what we believe. Think of what we as Christians profess is our faith. That the God who created us, the God that we worship, became one of us. Was placed in a manger of all things. This same God, this creator who became creature, died, and then he rose again in the person of Jesus. And because he was resurrected, so we believe that Jesus was resurrected, because he was resurrected, we will never die, ever. That's what we believe. An outsider could be looking in thinking, that's a little unusual. There's no way that we can prove our faith. You can't blame the other disciples. But the resurrection for us is our battle cry, because we have conquered death as a result of the resurrection. But an empty tomb doesn't prove the resurrection. The women learned this. Our burden of belief rests on the experience of the risen Jesus Christ that we have in our lives. The women experienced him, so they believed. They were the first. Peter, I believe, experienced him, so they believed. Then later on, all the apostles experienced him at table again in the resurrection. They believe. And so that faith experience was shaped and honed within a community of believers who experienced it as well. This experience that we are having together in this community or in other sacred spaces, In our lives, as we live out the promises that we know have been fulfilled, as we reach out to the least of these, then we also experience the risen Jesus Christ. Our faith doesn't prove our faith. It doesn't prove that we are right. It doesn't prove that Jesus did rise from the dead, but our faith does build our faith. Faith moves from fulfillment to promise, not the other way around. Isaiah is the one who promised and said, someday that's going to happen. And our New Testament faith in Jesus is the day is now. It has happened. In Jesus, that promise has been fulfilled. It's already happened. And we can be living the life that Isaiah speaks about as a result of what Jesus has done for us. This is why it's so important to tell the story, because it has already happened. It has been fulfilled. And if you don't believe it, I'm going to make you say it again. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
The women were told, you do remember, don't you? How can you remember if you were never told? The disciples back at that confused home did not believe because they did not experience it. So what really happened? We say we believe, and I believe, that Jesus was raised from the dead. We have 11 passages in Scripture that say that God raised Jesus from the dead. Acts 3:15, 4:10, 5:30, 10:40, 13:30 and 37, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Romans 4:24, 8:11, 10:9, 1 Corinthians 6:14. Leah, did you get all those? You got it. So this is the primary purpose of this Easter passage, is to tell us that Jesus has conquered death. So where does that leave us? Our faith cannot be built and developed without a witness and an experience to the resurrection. You probably know I love to play golf. I love to stay home and eat chips and watch sports. I love to go out in my yard and mow it and cut wood. I love to walk in the woods with my wife. You can find God on the golf course. You can find God at home or chopping wood. You can find God in the forest. God is absolutely there. But here in this place we call the church, this is where your faith is honed. This is where it is strengthened. This is where you are prepared for the kingdom of God, which then makes you brand spanking new. It is here where it has to be developed, not anywhere else. It's within a community where you become a different person. You hear the witness of the faith community as God works in all of our lives, and as we share our stories, and as we leave each other amazed at what God is able to do, because then we have encountered the risen Jesus Christ ourselves. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has won over death and tells people to share it with others so that we can all be brand spanking new. And as the victor over death, Jesus has indeed come into his kingdom. And a share of that kingdom awaits the faithful disciple who recognizes him now as Lord. Won't you be that disciple? Amen. Loving God, we give you thanks because you call us to be your disciples. You remind us that our faith ought to pursue that which is already fulfilled. God, you have equipped us with everything that we need in order to live out that kingdom life. Motivate us to do just that. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.